asked him why. He confessed that they worked just fine, but when he went in to one of the restrooms, someone had sung a sign next to the new hand dryer that read, "For a sample of this week's sermon, push button." Please join with me in prayer. Holy God, on this Holy Humor Sunday, we thank you for the gift of laughter. We thank you that through all of the darkness, beyond death, beyond hurt, beyond pain, laughter and love and hope do have the last word. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Blessed Eastertide, friends. We'll continue celebrating Easter for another 40-odd days, 50 days total. Because you know that numbers are symbolic in church and in scripture, I'll break that down for you. 50 equals 7 times 7 plus 1. Or in words, since 7 is the number of the fullness of creation, since we read in Genesis that of God creating the world and Sabbath in 7 days, 50 equals the fullness of time times the fullness of time and more. We celebrate Easter symbolically for the fullness of time. Now, today, we're taking a tack on Easter that I suspect for most of you is something new. Holy Humor Sunday. I was introduced to this when I first came into the United Church of Christ in the early 2000s. The pastor I was working with at the time noticed that many in our congregation seemed to be in a difficult place that year. And so when he stumbled across this ancient tradition being revived, he decided to give it a try. Now, I'm not trying to make light of the state of our world. In fact, I think that what Holy Humor Sunday does is the exact opposite. It says that in the face of sin and death, in the face of the absolute worst that the world can throw at us, we can still laugh because God has the last word. The idea that in Easter, God played the ultimate joke on sin and death. By triumphing over the grave, love wins. And that is something so marvelous, so incredible, so ridiculous, that it deserves a good laugh. So, enough theology then. Let's practice this Easter laughing. Sometimes, an Easter laugh comes in the form of an obituary. This one I came across last month, and it may be one of the greatest faith statements I have ever read. It reads, "Tim Schrant, age 63, of Spillville, Iowa, died on Friday, March 29th, 2019, at Gunderson Health System in La Crosse, Wisconsin, after a short battle with cancer. Tim Schrant made his last inappropriate comment on March 29th, 2019. If you are wondering if you've ever met him, you didn't, because you would remember. For those of you who did meet him, we apologize, as we're sure that he probably offended you. He was world-renowned for not holding back and telling it like it is. Tim was born to William Schrant and Mary Schrant Manning on June 11, 1955, 100 years too late. Given Tim's demeanor, he would have been the perfect weathered cowboy in the Old West, or rough and tough pioneer, or maybe he just should have been Amish. Tim was the fourth of 8 kids, the bottom rung of the top tier. Instead of taking his place on that rung, listening to the older kids and doing as he was told by his older siblings, he decided to anoint himself king of the four little kids. Tim spent his childhood and early adulthood ordering them around and, in general, tormenting them. He was a great orator, not like Shakespeare, more like Yogi Berra, as he always had something to say. And he always had to get the last word. His position as king and orator was challenged by the nuns at St. Wenceslaus School in Spillville, where he may have met his match. We're not saying that the nuns won, but they put up a good fight, and we mean that literally. He actually got into a fisticuff with a nun. In fairness, she probably started it. You see, you didn't take a swing at Tim and not expect to get one back. Tim's fondness for authority, his own, not others, followed him to South Wishanick High School in Kalamar and later into the Army. This provided for many interesting episodes and stories, detentions and demotions, and a few run-ins with the law, not just locally, but globally. Tim worked at Stanley Black & Decker in Decorah as a tool and die maker for 30-plus years. He worked with many friends and a bunch of morons. His words, not ours. Well, not exactly his words, because that would have included a bunch of swearing, too. And Tim leaves behind a heck of a lot of stuff that his family doesn't know what to do with. So if you're looking for a Virgin Mary in a bathtub shrine, you Catholics know what we're talking about, you should wait the appropriate amount of time and get in touch with them. Tomorrow would be fine. In addition to his stuff, he leaves behind two great boys who he was extremely proud of. He will be missed by his two granddaughters that he adored and taught to cuss. He also left to keep the stories alive, but dang, there won't be any more new material, are his mother, Mary Manning, and siblings. And there's a list, nephews and cousins that wanted to hang out and be near him because you just knew he was going to say or do something good. It's not that he was such a great storyteller. It's that he was the story. To his siblings' amazement, he was actually able to snag a good woman, Cheryl Murray, and keep her for the last 13 years. And as far as we understand, no restraints were used. Tim also created great memories and stories for Cheryl's kids and grandkids. He will be having a reunion with his infant daughter, Ashley, his brother, Duke, and his dad, Bill Schrant, and many uncles and aunts, and a handful of cousins that passed before him. Tim was in charge of getting the beer and ice for our family reunions, so we're sure they'll be happy to see him. A common line in obituaries is, he never met a stranger. In Tim's case, he never met a rule he couldn't break, a boundary he couldn't push, a line he couldn't cross, a story he couldn't stretch. Another common obituary phrase is, he'd give you the shirt off his back. Well, Tim was prepared to do that, and he could do it quickly because he always wore his shirts unbuttoned 3/4 of the way down. Tim was anything but common. Despite his crusty exterior, cutting remarks, and stubbornness, there is actual evidence that he was a loving, giving, and caring person. That evidence is the deep sorrow and pain in our hearts that his family feels from his passing. Tim led a good life and had a peaceful death. But for the record, he did not lose his battle with cancer. When he died, the cancer died. So technically, it was a tie. He was ready to meet his maker. We're just not sure that the maker is ready to meet Tim. Good luck, God. We're considering establishing a GoFundMe account at G. Heilemann Brewing Company, the brewers of old style beer, as we anticipate they are about to experience a significant hardship as the result of the loss of Tim's business. Keep them in your thoughts and prayers too. every time that I read this, and I've read it probably a dozen times in this last month, it's a story of vibrancy. It's a story of life. It's a story that love wins. Another example of the Easter laugh comes to us from beloved spiritual writer Anne Lamott. Many of you know her from her quirky autobiographical volumes of short stories about finding God and faith and health and community in very unlikely places. Her first book, Traveling Mercies, is a faith-based, her first book of faith-based short stories, Traveling Mercies, made me laugh out loud, even as she wrote about her alcoholism, her drug addiction, her homelessness, and finding her way to health and faith. I've quoted her to you any number of times from this pulpit. Perhaps my favorite line from her is, "Heaven is a new pair of glasses." The idea being that heaven is when we finally see things rightly. Lamott is quirky, and through her writing, she teaches us to be at home in our own skin. She's got long blonde dreadlocks and calls her thighs the aunties. But in her at home in her skinness, one also sensed a loneliness. And that's why you can imagine my shock when I opened the New York Times on Friday to see an article about Lamott getting married this month for the first time at age 65. When asked if she had ever in a million years imagined that she would be getting married at this stage in her life, her response was, "God is such a show-off." And maybe that really is the message of Holy Humor Sunday. The silly one-liners are fun. Have you heard the one about the small child in church who, in the middle of a long-winded sermon, was overheard asking his mother, "Mommy, are you sure this is the only way we can get to heaven?" But the real Easter message is that God is such a show-off. There are any number of times in our lives when we feel we're at the dead end, any number of times when we think that we know the rest of the story, that everything is figured out, that there are no more surprises, and sadly, that there is no more joy. The risus pascalis, the Easter smile, is that God is a show-off, is writing yet another chapter for you that is full of joy and hope. Or even more simply, love not only wins, love is going to keep on winning. Thanks be to God.